Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Ben from Good Ranchers. Our topic will be getting America food independent. Then football co-host Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce Ben Spell from Good Ranchers. If it's not obvious, Good Ranchers sells meat grown and processed in America. They really do it right. I know. I just had some. So welcome to the show, Ben. Glad you could join us.
Hey, thanks for having me. So glad to be talking with you today.
Ben, start by telling us how you got into ranching and Good Ranchers.
Yeah, not the conventional way for sure. I had no agricultural background and no business acumen. I'd never thought I would run a business, start a business. I was a pastor. I was full-time at a church. I was at a large church here in Houston, Texas. And from the time I was a teenager all the way into my mid-30s, I was in full-time ministry. But one day I, clear as day, heard God's voice tell me to start a meat company, which I thought obviously was just... maybe I ate some bad meat or something, right? But I was getting ready for my job at the church. And I came out of the bathroom and I told my wife, I said, I think God just told me to start a meat company. And she looked at me right in the eye. I thought she was going to talk me out of it and say, you're crazy. What do you know about anything to do with that? But she looked me right back in the face and said, if you heard God, then I trust you. And it was just, yeah, it was a, you know, kind of a Damascus Road experience. And We know one way to do things, and that's go all in. So we went all in beginning of 2018 and started figuring it out. And that's when I heard that call of go start a meat company. I didn't even know at the time, what Good Ranchers has turned in to be and, you know, what we stand for and standing for the American farmer, connecting the American family to the American farm. I didn't even know that was an issue. And until about a year and a half in, I realized after we started having some decent success and getting some buying and purchasing power, I realized that over 80% of the grass-fed beef being sold in the U.S. is actually imported from other countries because there's no country of origin labeling law. There's no label law for country of origin for beef or for pork in the U.S. So whenever we realized that, and early on, we didn't even know it. I mean, we were buying truckloads and truckloads of meat and didn't realize that a lot of it was coming from Mexico, coming from South America, because packers, sellers, brokers, they don't even have to tell you where it's from because there is no law for beef or for pork. When we learned that, we realized, whoa, this is a big problem. And so we drew a line in the sand, said, we're only going to support American farms and ranches. We're only going to source from American farms and ranches, which then, of course, made us have to go direct. Because you really can't trust anybody. It's a pretty money motivated industry, and when money becomes the motivator, you know, it's easy to kind of there's a lot of gray area, to say the least. And you got the largest beef companies in the U.S. happen to be owned and operated out of Brazil, so that right there should tell you that two of the top four biggest in the U.S. are Brazilian owned. So it makes sense for them to want to not have a country of origin labeling law. So yeah, we jumped all in. My wife and our newborn son at the time, and started selling meat out of trucks and parking lots early on. It was me selling meat getting meat and parking in a parking lot and selling it out of the back of my truck. And we just began to grow and to scale, and God was super faithful. And again, when we learned about the country of origin labeling issues, and when we took that step to say, hey, we're going to support American farms, we're going to support American ranches, our customer base just really aligned with that. And yeah, it's been a wild ride, but we're happy to be here.
Well, your story sounds very real. I know there are times when I believe God's talking to me, and then there's occasionally when I know he did. And I'm willing to step out on those rare occasions when I know he did. So I relate to your situation. Now, you guys are neither farmers nor ranchers nor processors, right?
No, that's right. That's right. You know, what we've learned is the people who are really good at ranching are really good at raising cattle, raising beef the right way. And they're not so good at being able to market it and sell it and connect it with the end user, which is why they wind up having to just sell to auctions, have to sell to market, and they get taken advantage of, I mean, year after year after year, because they don't have an outlet to be able to sell. So us coming in and stepping in and being able to give other options, it really is just a huge help to them.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Ben Spell from Good Ranchers. I firmly believe that our nation needs to be both energy and food independent, or else we'll be subject to severe pressure from the nations that provide the energy and food to us. We were energy independent 3 years ago, but now we're not. And now we're under real pressure because of the war with Israel. Indeed, we just made some real concessions to Venezuela, a very nasty nation, to begin to bring in the fuel that we could be pumping ourselves. We've got it here. And during and for a decade or so after World War II, we virtually fed the world. That's an overstatement, but it's close. And in recent decades, we've seemed to ignore our need for good ranchers and farmers. And we now import, as you were just talking about, a huge amount of the food that we eat. As we've discussed this on before on the show, we need to be both consuming meat that was both raised and processed in this nation, just like we need to by consuming food that was raised on farms in this nation. Ben, thank you for your approach, because I'm glad you discovered it, and I'm glad you're doing something about it. How do you make this happen now? You contacted providers in your area or broader than just Houston?
Oh, yeah. We partner with ranches and farms all over the U.S. now. We started out of Texas, but we're nationwide. We ship nationwide, and we partner. Again, we have about 130 partner farms and ranches currently, and we continue to grow. The thing is, what you just said a second ago, it's imperative that we don't give up control of our food supply. And the sad thing is, we are doing it left and right. We're becoming so dependent on other countries, other nations for our food, and not just meat, but even grains and corn and things like that. We have the ability to raise everything that we need to supply and sustain our own country here in the U.S., but we're just giving up control of that left and right. And the problem with that is, when you control the food, you control the people. And as we're giving up control, if we have to be reliant on other countries to feed us, then we're going to become enslaved to those other countries. That's economics 101. So we're just sitting by silently watching it happen. The people, it's like people think, oh yeah, that'll never happen. Oh yeah, that'll never happen. But it absolutely will. So we have to support our own. We have to support our neighbors, our local farms and our local agriculture is the backbone of our nation. It is the backbone of our society. And it's so sad to see the amount of ranches that are closing every year because they just can't make ends meet because they can't keep up with the inferior imported product that's being flooded into the market. This year, over 3 billion pounds of beef will be imported into the U.S. and sold with a product of USA label. And the American farms, they just can't keep up with that.
It's a challenge, Ben, and we have to deal with it. There's more to discuss about getting America food independent, and Ben is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Do some knee bends. Go about halfway down each time. Do 40. And do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Ben and I will be right back.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned. We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Ben Spell from Good Ranchers about getting our nation food independent again. I think, as near as I can tell, the challenge is that other nations can produce it cheaper because they pay their people less. So therefore, it sells here for less. And too many of us are thinking, I can save $5 or $0.05 or a pound or something on something, so I'll buy it here. And we let the American farmer go broke and put him out of business when, as you pointed out, at some point, we're going to become so independent on foreign countries, not only to supply it to us, but whoever transports it to us, that if any of those dislike us, we can starve.
Yeah, it's very true. And there's a lot that needs to happen. And first and foremost, what needs to happen is we have to get country of origin labeling law reinstituted in the U.S. It's a shame that you have to put the country of origin label on your utensils that you use. Go look at your silverware. It's going to tell you where it's made. All of your clothes say where they're made. Everything that's imported into this country is subject to country of origin labeling, except the food that we eat when it comes to beef and it comes to pork. So what we need to do is get the country of origin label law reinstituted and passed, that because as it sits right now, as long as it can be imported and they can put an American flag sticker on it and call it product of USA, as long as it was repackaged in a USDA facility, which is just the biggest scam that there is. So what we have to do is get the country of origin labeling law reinstituted, because if you go to the grocery store and it clearly says product of Brazil, product of Uruguay, product of China, product of Australia, product of South America, like when it clearly says that versus born, raised, and harvested in the USA, the American people are going to pick the born, raised, and harvested in the USA. American people want to buy from American farms. There's been countless surveys done over the last few years in the industry, and overwhelming, it's like over 90, I think the last one was 91% of the people said that they would choose product of USA over product of any other country when it comes to food, when it comes to beef specifically. But we don't even have that option.
Okay. You know, that makes real sense. So that means it's our responsibility as citizens to contact our congressmen and U.S. senators and say, right, please get a bill like this passed. I mean, they work for us and they can't read minds, so they don't know what we're thinking unless we communicate and tell them.
That's right.
So it's our responsibility to do that. And at the same time, we need to encourage the store owners and managers. Hey, is this American grown food? Is this American grown meat? Because I'd prefer to buy that. If they heard that from customers, that can influence their decision on buying too, I believe. I mean, I've run enough businesses to know that you want to meet the needs of the people that are buying your stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. We just got hit with a cease and desist, which is probably going to turn into a lawsuit from the biggest company selling meat online in the U.S. right now. If I said their name, everyone would know who they are. And they just hit us with a cease and desist because for telling this story, because I go on podcasts regularly and we regularly educate people that there's no country of origin labeling law. That product of USA does not mean that it's actually raised in the USA. And biggest online meat company in the US right now, they source almost all of their beef from overseas. And it says it on their website. But they just hit us with the cease and desist saying that we're defaming them and we're hurting their market share by letting people know that. Think about that.
You see, sharing the truth is a problem?
Yeah. In the cease and desist letter, it said, while we do import most of our beef, we also source some product from the USA as well. And you're making it sound like we import everything and that's not okay. Essentially, is what they were saying, which it's crazy.
Well, you know, what can you do? I mean, all you can do is say the truth as you know it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we will not back down. We're going to continue to talk about this. We're going to continue to preach this and to get this message out there. And we're going to continue to connect the American people to the American farm, because I just believe that that's the way it should be. We should be supporting our farmers, our ranchers. We should be supporting our own local businesses. We should be supporting as much as we can. We should support each other.
You know, this is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Ben from Good Ranchers. Ben, what you're saying is just plain common sense. I mean, if you like something and want something, you should support it. And if you're not given enough information to make the wise decisions, you should be able to ask for it or even mandate it so that you can, particularly something you're going to consume, have some control over. I mean, this doesn't sound outrageous to me.
Yeah, no, it's not. And so, you know, and we're not the only, we're not the only people doing the right thing. And more, I hope that more companies, more grocery stores, more markets will begin to draw a line in the sand like we did years ago and say, no, we're only going to, we may not make as much money, because the truth is we can buy cheaper and we could sell it for just as much, if not more. And we would make more money. But for us, while we are a for-profit business, we're far more about doing the right thing 100% of the time. And if that means making less profit, then it means making less profit. But we want to do the right thing. And the right thing is to support our own, is to support our country, our neighbors, our friends.
Well said. We're about out of time. Take a minute now and tell listeners how they can contact you to learn more, to buy from you, to get more information.
Sure. Our website is goodranchers.com. That's goodranchers, RANCHERS.com. We sell beef, chicken, seafood, and pork. And everything is born, raised, and harvested on American soil at American farms. Everything is ethically raised, locally sourced, and we package it. We individually package every piece of meat, put it in a box with dry ice, and it's safe, it's convenient, and it's the best meat you'll ever get in your whole life, because until you've had it straight from the farm, honestly, you don't know what you're missing. But yeah, goodranchers.com, we have a wide selection of products, and the more support we have, the more we can grow and the more we can begin to offer even more products. We're a small family business. It's my wife and I started this just 5 years ago, and I've got brothers and cousins and best friends working for us, and we want to support our neighbors, and we would hope that you guys would support us as well.
Well said, Ben. And I'll tell you what, I've got an order from them, and it is just as good as Ben said. It's awesome food. Ben, thank you for sharing this important information today. And thank you for your service to our nation by helping feed us and helping making us aware of what we need to do. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, football co-host Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it is time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. And it is Service Academy football time, and I'm joined, of course, by Quentin Roberts, Air Force vet, football player at the Air Force Academy, and our co-host for football. Welcome, bro.
Hey, how you doing, Denny? It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous day. But boy, when I look at football last week, except for Air Force, nobody really needed to have shown up. Air Force led the way, so we better start by talking about them.
Let's talk about the number 19 ranked in the nation, Air Force Falcons, remaining undefeated at 8-0, 5-0 in the conferences. They defeated the Colorado State Rams, an in-state rival, as the Rams fell to 3-5 on the season, 1-3 in the conference. It was a frigid night in Fort Collins, Colorado, on a snow-covered canvas stadium field where we had 22,580 brave onlookers that withstood the frigid conditions to watch Air Force improve to 8-0 on the season and 5-0 in Mountain West play. It was 13-13 tie at the half, but in the second half, it was all Air Force's. They scored 17 unanswered points while the defense held Colorado State scoreless in the second half. It was clear that the frigid conditions adversely affected the CSU passing attack, while the Air Force ground game showed that it is absolutely built to thrive in any weather conditions. Air Force scored first as the Falcons capped a 12-play, 54-yard drive, with Zach Larrier throwing a 9-yard touchdown pass to wide receiver Dane Kenneman. Second quarter, Colorado State seized some momentum and scored the next 10 points, but Ole Miss swung back in favor of the Falcons when senior linebacker Bo Richter made a sensational strip sack of Colorado State quarterback and recovered the fumble to set up an Air Force touchdown and then take control of the game. As I mentioned, the game was tied at the half, and the Falcons started off the third quarter with a long patented touchdown drive of 10 plays, 75 yards, capped off by a Zach Larrier 1-yard touchdown run to put the Falcons up 20-13. Emmanuel Michelle, also known as E-Man, starred in the second half as he added a touchdown and ended the game with 130 yards on 20 carries. Defensively, senior safety Mike Mergerson led the Falcons with 13 tackles and 2 pass breakups. The 8-0 start is the best since 1985, when the team opened 10-0. And guess who played on that 85 team, Denny?
I'm guessing it's somebody I'm talking to right now.
That's right. So they also have a 13-game winning streak dating back to last season that ties the school record from the 84-85 team. So the Air Force prevailed and looked good doing it as they are moving up in the rankings nationally. And just, you know, I'm feeling like it's something special going on in Colorado Springs with this.
Well, whatever it is, I'm delighted that I've got a Service Academy team I can cheer for on to victory. I can cheer for all of them, but I like cheering on to victory a whole lot better than I do just cheering.
Well, that's why we keep score, right? We play to win the game.
Yes, sir. Army came back. I mean, they brought their offense and defense this week compared to last week. that they lost to UMass 21-14. They were there, though.
I tell you, Denny, it's been a tough season for the Black Knights, who, you're right, they fell to UMass 21-14, and their record stands at 2-6 on the season, and they're sporting a heavy five-game losing streak in what has become Coach Jeff Monken's most difficult season since taking the helm of the Army football program. The Black Knights dropped a winnable game against a struggling 1-7 UMass team. However, when you look for some bright spots, we saw some as the offense outgained UMass 362-352 with 204 rushing yards and 158 through the air. But turnovers continue to plague Army's new look offense as they surrendered two interceptions and a fumble and were -3 on the turnover margin for the day. Another bright spot for Army is the number of freshmen that are starting their careers. Freshman quarterback Camp Harris started his second consecutive game and came out firing on the first play, connecting on a deep post route to fellow freshman Toby Olawale for a gain of 43 yards, the longest for both of their young careers. Junior quarterback Bryson Daly entered the game on Army's third drive and immediately drove the Black Knights down the field as part of a 17-play, 76-yard drive. And it was the junior signal caller calling his own number to punch in a 2-yard touchdown run. While the offense sputtered, the defense kept the Black Knights in the game and limited UMass offense really to just 21 points despite the offense's 3 turnovers. The D just couldn't generate enough turnovers of their own. A game note, the division of the game that Army honored was the 7th Infantry Division, with a logo decal on the player's helmet and the coach's headsets. The 7th Infantry Division is an active duty infantry division based at Joint Base Lewis McChord, charged with sustaining the combat readiness of 2 Stryker Brigade combat teams.
Yes, sir. And Navy had a bye this week. Coast Guard didn't do too badly, but lost to SUNY Maritime.
Yes, Denny, Coast Guard Academy dropped to 4-4 on the season, 2-3 in the conference as they lost to Maritime in a close one, 24-21. Bears football was on the road, but unable to complete the comeback. And the Merchant Marine Academy similarly lost to Springfield 21-14 in another close game. They fell to 6-2 on the season, 4-1 in the conference.
Indeed. Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. This weekend, Army versus Air Force. If we look at the records, I guess it's fairly easy to say who you think's going to win.
Well, Denny, you don't have to look at the record to say who I think is going to win typically. But in this case, this is the second leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy for Air Force. Really a rare time when they're playing Navy and Army in 2 out of the 3 weeks in which they play. Usually, Navy is played earlier in October. But this year, the scheduling, they moved it back. And this Army game is going to be special, though, because it's going to be played at the former Mile High Stadium, now known as Empower Stadium. Air Force is favored by a hefty 18.5 points, but don't believe that because you know it's going to be a tough game. As you look at the tail of the tape, Air Force leads in most categories. Total offense, 381 to Army's 324. And in terms of defense, Air Force has given up 238 yards a game to Army's 378. But when you get into these games, it's the big plays and the turnovers that make the difference. If Air Force is able to limit those, they should prevail. But I tell you what, you never know what's going to happen. These are tough games. They're typically low-scoring games. And when they're that low-scoring, anything can happen.
And I will be cheering for Army against Air Force, something I don't often cheer against Air Force.
I'm trying to get you to convert, Denny, but it's you know, it's been a few years now, and you still aren't coming over to the – you're still staying on the dark side there.
We're about out of time, but Navy's playing Temple. What does that look like?
Well, Denny, Navy is playing Temple, and, you know, they're coming off a bye as they travel to Philadelphia. Navy has won 2 out of their past 3 games, while Temple has dropped 5 straight. Navy's favored by 6.5 points, and expect the midshipmen to come home with another victory.
Okay. Merchant Marines got to buy Coast Guards at WPI?
That's right, Denny. WPI is 3-5 on the season, 1-4 in the conference. So Coast Guard should improve their season to a winning record overall, move to 5-4 with a victory over WPI.
Stand by. Now we get to wait and see. Thank you, Quentin. God bless you, brother. We'll be back at it again next week.
Looking forward to it, Denny. Salute, my friend.
Amen. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Navy vet Pam is very concerned about Israel. Will we likely join them in fighting the terrorists?
Pam, I don't think so. We might join them in hunting for our hostages, but I don't think we'll join in the fight. And Israel doesn't want or need help.
Actually, Colonel, they might be better off without us at this point, because they're not, you know, saddled down by political correctness and
all of that stuff. They'd be using the wrong pronouns. We couldn't handle that.
That's right. It just wouldn't work. And Peter, an Air Force vet and Army dad, is concerned that the Israeli war will take the focus off of China and China will attack Taiwan.
Peter, that's a very valid concern. I fear we're so weak, we'd have to abandon Taiwan. We'll see. Okay, now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, on 8 November 1775, during the Revolutionary War, General George Washington sought to resolve several problems facing the Army: how to encourage experienced troops to enlist, how to assemble a capable officer corps, and how to overcome provincial differences and rivalries. Describing the problems, he wrote, "Connecticut wants no Massachusetts man in her corps. Massachusetts thinks there is no necessity for a Rhode Islander."
I think it may have had to do with wrong pronouns.
I'm not sure about that.
And 2 days later, on the 10th of November, 1775, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress passed a resolution stating that, quote, two battalions of Marines be raised for service as landing forces for the recently formed Continental Navy. The resolution, drafted by future U.S. President John Adams and adopted in Philadelphia, created the Continental Marines and is now observed as the birth date of the U.S. Marine Corps. Happy birthday to all Marines, even Skip.
Hoorah. And Colonel, it happened at a tavern of all places. That seems appropriate to me.
Really? I didn't know there were any.
And on 10 November 1865, during the Civil War, Henry Wirz, a Swiss immigrant and the commander of Andersonville Prison in Georgia, was hanged for the murder of soldiers incarcerated at his prison. While both sides incarcerated prisoners under horrible conditions, Andersonville deserves special mention for the inhumane circumstances under which its inmates were kept. A stockade held thousands of men inside a barren and polluted patch of ground. Barracks were planned but never built. The men slept in makeshift housing called shebangs, constructed from scrap wood and blankets that offered little protection from the elements. A small stream flowed through the compound and provided water for the Union soldiers, but this became a cesspool of disease and human waste. Erosion caused by the prisoners turned the stream into a huge swamp. The prison was designed to hold 10,000 men, but the Confederates had packed it with over 31,000 inmates by August 1864.
Yuck. And on 9 November 1938, in an event that would foreshadow the Holocaust, German Nazis launched a campaign of terror against Jewish people and their homes and businesses in Germany and Austria. The violence, which continued through November 10th, was later dubbed Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass, after the countless smashed windows of Jewish-owned establishments, and that left approximately 100 Jews dead, 7,500 Jewish businesses damaged, and hundreds of synagogues, homes, schools, and graveyards vandalized. An estimated 30,000 Jewish men were arrested, many of whom were sent into concentration camps for several months. When they were released, they had to promise to leave Germany. Kristallnacht represented a dramatic escalation of the campaign, started by Adolf Hitler in 1933, when he became chancellor, to purge Germany of its Jewish population.
Wow, deja vu, Colonel. We just read the news and just seems to keep happening.
Yep.
And on 7 November 1957, the final report from a special committee called by President Dwight Eisenhower to review the nation's defense readiness indicated that the U.S. was falling far behind the Soviets in missile capabilities and urged a vigorous campaign to build fallout shelters to protect American citizens.
Ooh. And on 10 November 1964, at a news conference, Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara said the U.S. had no plans to send combat troops into Vietnam. When asked whether the U.S. intended to increase its activities in Vietnam, he replied, wait and see. Well, one year later, I was in Vietnam, and by 1969, over 500,000 American troops were in South Vietnam.
And on 9 November 1965, in the second such anti-war incident within a week, Roger Allen Laporte, a 22-year-old member of the Catholic Worker Movement, immolated himself in front of the UN headquarters in New York. Before dying the next day, Laporte declared, quote, I'm against wars, all wars. I did this as a religious act, unquote. Laporte's act of protest followed that of Norman Morrison, a 32-year-old Quaker from Baltimore who immolated himself in front of the Pentagon on November 2nd.
Okay. And on 9 November 1970, the Supreme Court refused to hear a challenge by the state of Massachusetts regarding the constitutionality of the Vietnam War. By a 6-3 vote, the justices rejected the effort of the state to bring a suit in federal court in defense of Massachusetts residents claiming protection under a state law that allows them to refuse military service in an undeclared war.
And on 6 November 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini took over in Iran.
And on 9 November 1989, East German officials opened the Berlin Wall, allowing travel from east to west Berlin. The following day, celebrating Germans began tearing down the wall. One of the ugliest and most infamous symbols of the Cold War was soon reduced to rubble that was quickly snatched up by souvenir hunters. Indeed, a piece of that wall stands at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum in Grand Rapids.
And on 6 November 1997, the Clinton administration warned Iraq it could face military action or economic sanctions if it continued to bar UN weapons inspections.
And on 6 November 1998, President Clinton decided to lift most of the sanctions against India and Pakistan for their nuclear tests in May, as a reward for steps taken towards nuclear control agreements.
And on 6 November 2004, in an open letter to the Iraqi people and posted on the internet, 26 Saudi scholars and religious preachers stressed that armed attacks launched by militant Iraqi groups on U.S. troops and their allies in Iraq were legitimate resistance, and we call Saudi Arabia a friend.
Crazy world. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for the self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, around 2 a.m. in Tampa, a fight broke out between two groups during a Halloween celebration. It started as a verbal altercation and then escalated into a gunfight. Two people were killed and 18 wounded. At the time of the shooting, hundreds of people were on the streets because numerous night spots had just closed. Video posted online shows people, many in Halloween costumes, drinking and talking out on the street when about a dozen shots rang out, followed seconds later about eight more. A stampede ensued, with some people toppling over metal tables and taking cover behind them. Video from the aftermath shows the police officers treating several wounded people lying on the ground.
Thanks, Colonel. Scenes like this used to be rare, but are now happening more often than ever before. The story is tragic, but let's take a look at what you can do should you ever find yourself stuck in between two warring factions. First, let's look at awareness. More times than not, if you're paying attention to what's going on around you, you'll be able to see trouble start before it escalates into a shooting war. I'm not personally against having a few drinks socially and having a good time, but you have to understand that drinking doesn't make you smarter. If anything, it slows down your thought process as well as your situational awareness skills. After two or three drinks, we start missing warning signs like people arguing and even more subtle clues like someone watching you too closely or someone following you. When you go out to the clubs, make sure you designate someone who isn't going to be drinking, not just as a designated driver, but also as a designated protector and defender. And when this person says it's time to go home, then follow their advice. Second, consider limiting your own public drinking. Staying out until the bars close is just not a safe lifestyle. It may sound boring, but staying home is much safer than drinking at bars until 2 a.m. If you want to drink, then keep it to 1 or 2 beverages per night. After more than 2 drinks, most people are no longer thinking clearly. Their judgment is impaired, along with their physical reflexes and motor skills. Your driving will be affected, along with your ability to detect and respond to dangerous criminals. Along with that, it's illegal in most states to carry a gun while under the influence of alcohol. So when you drink publicly, you're giving up one of your best self-defense tools, your own firearm. Frontlines of Freedom encourages all of you to drink responsibly and to stay alert when drinking in public. Above all, be reminded that firearms and alcohol are a bad combination. It's okay to have fun, but be smart about it.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is The 11th Order. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link, and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments about the movie. Please send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Army vet Mike Rogers will discuss some of our nation's serious challenges. Author Ed Fuller will share one of his new books. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Marines Gil and Skip will present The Border and Books. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom with 19 Authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafreedom.com. That's cvafreedom.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of the show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Next weekend is Veterans Day. Please be sure you celebrate it and that your children understand it. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.